Driving? No purchase necessary.
The following is a live show streaming from two radio show producers / sports fans. Ray Atkinson and Josh Hall have one mission: to gain your attention. This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
Two games, three games under 500. The Orioles just cannot seem to crack it.
It seems like three games under 500 has become the theme of this show the last several weeks now. It's mind-boggling to me how it's right within the Orioles' grasp to get better in this division. And other teams are losing in order for them to get better in this division. They don't want none, Ray. They don't want none. What's going on here?
As the villain in Mad Max said, mediocre.
That has certainly been the case.
The entire American League, East, though, has been mediocre. I mean, as of this podcast, the Orioles are only two games out of first place behind Tampa Bay and New York, who are both 26-25. Josh, one game over 500. So there you, and you have it to where the Blue Jays are about 3.5 games back, and then Boston's about 4 games back, 7 games below 500. It seems a little more hopeless for Boston, but remember, it is the Boston Red Sox that we're talking about here. But the entire American League East is just down at the same time, though, Josh. Meanwhile, you look in the Central, the Twins are leading 30-19.
And the Kansas City Royals are 10 games above 500 and in second place, a half game back.
And then in third place, the Tigers are 4 games over. And then, you know, fourth place is where the Orioles would be at 24-26, with the Cleveland Indians are 6.5 games back. And the White Sox are 7 games back, 3 games under 500. So something is amiss here in the American League East. They're beating up on each other, Josh.
Yeah, they are beating up on each other way too much. And it just seems like the Baltimore Orioles just aren't able to get over that hump and be able to put together a string of wins. I can't remember the last time I've seen the Orioles win more than three games on a win streak. It's starting to feel like it's been a while.
It has been a while, and it seems like it's getting to John Candy in Rookie of the Year. And the Chicago Cubs are at their highest win streak of the season. 2.
Yep, and we did have two winners this past weekend enjoy their time at Oriole Park at Camden Yards on the Sunday game against the Tampa Bay Rays. So Arthur of South Baltimore and Jessica of Pasadena certainly enjoyed their time with their respective families. Even though it wasn't a loss, we do apologize for the loss.
We can't control that.
We can't control that at all. However,
we should put that in the contest rules, by the way. The Baltimore Sports Free-for-All can in no way guarantee the outcome of the ball game.
Yep, exactly. But we do have another ticket giveaway for this month. Yep, believe it or not, folks, it is June. I know.
It came by fast. We decided to go early June and drop it here. And it was going to be coming soon in early June, or our names weren't, well, nothing else rhymes with soon.
Yeah, exactly. But on Friday, June the 12th at 7:05, first pitch, the New York Yankees will be visiting the Baltimore Orioles at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Instead of two winners, we're going to go back to the traditional one winner of four. That's right, four tickets, section 324, row 16, seats 3-6. If you listen to this program, if you tell your friends about it, if you comment on our page, pretty much social media interaction here, Facebook, Twitter, what have you, that's how you win the tickets, folks, just like last time, just like the last 2 months. Yep. And we haven't had any complaints from the winners at all, well, surprisingly.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, I have to say, it's our first contest and our first attempt at a giveaway here in the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All in terms of a monthly contest and, you know, sending it out like rapid fire. We have done giveaways in the past, but this one's where we're, like, doing it on a consistent basis, rapid fire.
Traditional.
No complaints as of right now, and you all can see our contest rules as well that we have posted, but we're also, in terms of ticket giveaways, we also have what we're talking about, the Orioles Week in Review, what they have coming up in the week. NBA Finals are set. NHL Finals set.
I don't have to eat any paper. I don't have to eat anything. Remember I said last week, if the NBA Finals was anybody but Cavs and the Warriors, I would have to eat a piece of paper, or I'd have to eat my own hat. Well, what did I say?
No. John Bradshaw Layfield said he'd eat his own hat if Dean Ambrose became the champion.
Well, he is the champ. Well, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. He says, I got to eat my own hat now.
He's got a belt. If you have a belt, you're a champ, right?
Pretty much, I would say.
I mean, Lance Armstrong still has his Tour de France titles in his house, I believe, so he's still somewhat a
champion. They count in his book.
They count
and
in
the people
book.
That still, the very few people now that still support him.
He was the best cheater out of all the cheaters, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to look at it that way.
So that's why I'm all for the whole, oh, well, these years just didn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you always say, like, oh, they should vacate the title and give it to the person that was the runner-up and give it to second place. When has that happened in professional sports?
I can't recall the last time that has happened in professional sports. However, we certainly will be touching on all the subjects. Orioles, Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals. Talk about the Belmont. Will American Pharoah win the Triple Crown? Also, we'll be ranting at the end of the show, like always. But, Ray, what is the name of this show?
It is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Where can you find us on social media?
That would be the Baltimore Sports Free For All podcast.
On Facebook?
That's the Facebook.
I was waiting for you to end a sentence like that.
Yeah, on Facebook.
And on Twitter.
That would be at BSportsFree, @BSportsFree4all.
And where can you find us on the audio outlets /podcast outlets?
Well, these are the main outlets that actually where you can get the content from. And SFMSports.net is our number one home for the Baltimore Sports Free For All, as it always has been. As in addition to Audio Boom, which is hosted through Audio Boom, Stitcher and Spreaker as well. Give us a check out on any of those portals, and welcome to anybody who's listening on Stitcher and Spreaker, by the way. Thank you for listening, and you will not be disappointed in the content that we have provided here at the Baltimore Sports Free For All. So, without further ado...
What about the blog?
Okay, well...
Yeah, we do have blog news, though.
Well, what is the blog news, okay? I'm a little confused about this, Josh, so I'm going to have you intro this right now.
Well, normally we did have the Sunday Night Sports Delight on Blogger /Google, whichever you can find us on there. However, I have discovered a nifty little website as of late, sportsblog.com, and I find it so interesting that I figured, you know what, why do we have to set it at a certain day? Why don't we surprise our listeners? Why don't we surprise our readers? Well, in this case, our readers, and post it on random days so you are pleasantly surprised. Surprises. So, yeah, we can go ahead and do that. And also, by the way, I was told earlier before our show started that Ray Atkinson wants a piece of this. So, yeah. You'll get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, can't have you let all the fun, right?
In terms of literary sense. So, yeah, there you go. You're going to have two bloggers all just jamming up that cranium of yours and just taking in our knowledge or whatever knowledge there is.
Hey, if you can read about somebody getting a sex change all throughout the day, then by all means, look at our blog as well.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the fact that it seems like the Kardashians and the Jenners are always in our face.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's oversaturated at this point, I think.
That's what I'm saying. If the American public has the time to read about that, they have time to read about the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Exactly. But going on the show this week, we do have to talk about our Orioles Week in Review, and nothing to write home about as far as the Orioles are concerned.
Oh, wait, we can write home about a few things. I mean, we always bust on the guy, so we got to give him a little bit of credit where credit is due. He had a really good week, Josh, and I'm talking about one Christopher Davis.
Yep, Chris Davis went 7-for-22 this week in 8 games, batting .318, .429 on base percentage. He had 5 walks, 7 strikeouts, which in 22 at-bats, you get 7 strikeouts and 5 walks. Hey, you'll take that at any time. But those aren't the numbers that you pay him the bread and butter for. 4 home runs, 8 runs batted in, and 2 doubles. 6 of Chris Davis's 7 hits were for extra bases, and that's why you pay the guy.
Yes, bravo, Chris Davis. Way to silence your critics, at least for one week now.
Now do it again the second week, and then we'll start praising you a little
bit. Or do this again like every other week, and then we'll really start praising you, and we'll see exactly what you can do. And then, hey, maybe even surpass Nelson Cruz in the home run numbers and get people to forget about him, right?
Yeah, and also hitting really well this week was one designated hitter /outfielder, Delmon Young, who went 8-for-18 in 5 games, .444 clip, .474 on base percentage, had 2 home runs, Ray, and 2 RBIs in the Sunday game against the Tampa Bay Rays, his first 2 home runs of the season. So for those folks who were worried about any right fielder for the Baltimore Orioles having more home runs than Nick Markakis or lack thereof, well, there you go. Delmon Young has more home runs than Nick Markakis right now. That's in this podcast.
Nick Markakis never played DH, though.
That is very true.
Now, in terms of batting, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It was Delmon Young at .444, Chris Davis hitting .318 and 4 home runs. Everybody else, your highest average was .250 from Ryan Flaherty.
Yeah, and not to discount Steve Pierce's 2 home runs, but he was batting a .200 clip. Surprisingly, a player that had a very forgetful week was Jimmy Paredes, who went 6-for-31, struck out 11 times, and batted 194. So, but then again, we've been calling him Jimmy the Bright Spot Paredes.
He's allowed to have a bad week.
He's allowed to have a bad week, just like Miguel Gonzalez is allowed to have a bad start, just like Wei-Yan Chen's allowed to have a bad start. We'll let Jimmy Paredes slide for this week. However, if this does become a recurrent theme here for the young designated hitter of the Baltimore Orioles, then we do have to harp on it a little bit there.
David Lowe, we can harp on him. Adam Jones didn't even have a good week. And all of a sudden, he's now battling a little bit of an injury right there. Wasn't in the lineup on Sunday, so
yeah,
that's a little bit of cause of concern for Jones. But he hit 182 in about six games. And yeah, no home runs for him. One RBI, Josh, and four strikeouts.
Yeah, and the Saturday and Sunday games, Adam Jones was ruled out of both games due to the ankle injury. And it made me think for a second there that you do have people that will say after a bad Adam Jones start, well, you know, I bet you if there was a game where Adam Jones was going to perform like that, we would have ended up winning, right? Right? But then again, here's one thing I know, and I guess we can use football terms in this as well. Adam Jones isn't a key necessity for the Baltimore Orioles. He isn't the end-all, be-all. However, we have learned that the Orioles are more likely to lose a game without Adam Jones than they are with him in the lineup, just like the Baltimore Ravens are more likely to lose a game without Joe Flacco than they are with him as a starter.
Well, we wouldn't know that just yet, since Joe Flacco has yet to miss a start in his career.
Yet.
Adam Jones is an
everyday player,
everyday player. It's not used to seeing him out of the lineup, so that was something very foreign over the weekend, and it didn't turn out well for the Baltimore Orioles. They should have won those games over the weekend. Somebody else who had a zero batting average, though, the big giant goose egg, Alejandro Deaza. Do you know why?
Designated for assignment.
Designated for yeah. assignment. A September guy last year, late season pickup last year. Everybody was harping on this guy, like saying, yes, Alejandro Deaza, we like this guy. Now he's back down and designated for assignment. We'll see exactly what the future holds for him. But this guy is a $5 million player. It shows that, hey, it's management is willing to say to all these guys, none of you are safe. Because of the fact that you get paid a lot of money, none of you are safe. I mean, look at last year. They put Ubaldo Jimenez in the bullpen and left him off the starting rotation and left him off the team for the playoffs. So now that Ubaldo Jimenez has come back and rebounded, so to speak, you see that it works wonders. So they're sending guys down, designating them for assignment, and saying to them, hey, we're not tolerating this mediocrity anymore. We have a chance to take this division. We have a chance to dominate in this division. Nobody else is taking it, so why don't we take it? We took it last year. What's so different about us from last year than this year, other than Nelson Cruz and Andrew Miller, two guys? We can still take this division because everybody else in the division is performing poorly.
Deaza this season batting a .214 clip with a .277 on-base percentage, ugh, three home runs, seven RBIs, four doubles, one triples, two stolen bases in 30 games played in 103 at-bats.
That's just foul.
I'll say this. Last season during September, Alejandro Deaza was basically a waiver pickup, and he definitely rejuvenated the Orioles' offense because, hey, sometimes you need a key piece to rejuvenate your offense, whether it's a little bit of speed on the base pass, maybe some key clutch hitting in September and October. But given the fact that Nick Markakis left a huge void in right field, just like Nelson Cruz left a huge void, not only offensively, but in the left field position, the Orioles are still without key components in left field and right field, in the corner outfield spots. Now, this is a team, in my opinion, can they still be a winning team without an everyday left fielder and right fielder? Possibly. However, can they be a winning team? Can they be a winning team and a playoff team without a corner outfielder? I don't think so.
Yeah, they were. There's been some rumblings that they might be interested in Ryan Howard, but I'm just thinking to myself, Ryan Howard is just another Chris Davis, and you don't really need that right now. You need a corner outfielder. It's just
power is not the problem with the Baltimore Orioles. It's key contributions from certain positions on this team that are lacking right now.
Yes, and that includes third base and Manny Machado. I mean, it seems like the polish is coming off the shine a little bit there for young Machado.
.949 fielding percentage.
Yeah, it's the fielding percentage has gone down. His batting average this week sucked. The power just is not there for this guy.
He did hit two home runs the other day, though. So,
but I mean, when he came out of the minors, everybody was harping on this guy as being the next A-Rod. Well, the guy was ejected this past week from a ball game for throwing his bat and his equipment, And you look at the history that he had last season with Josh Donaldson and that incident of him throwing the bat. And it seems like the guy's gaining a reputation here in addition to his poor play at third base, which is just unlike this kid. And now you're thinking to yourself, huh, maybe the scouts were right about him in terms of being like A-Rod, in terms of where his head's at.
Yeah. And looking at the rest of the Orioles roster here, there was a call-up here. Local boy Steve Clevenger was called up this week, went 4-for-7 in two games with a .571 batting average there. Now, given the fact that Deaza was designated for assignment and you really aren't sure where your heart lies in terms of a pinch hitter slash designated hitter sort of position, and given the fact that Matt Wieters will be coming back soon to the Orioles roster, thank God, I would like to see the Orioles keep Clevenger in their lineup for pinch hitting reasons. Because look, let's face it, it's starting to get boring to have Travis Snyder get called up into a pinch hitting situation when the guy historically is not a good pinch hitting player. Delmon Young is a very good pinch hitting player. He has history of that. But Travis Snyder's history so far has been subpar. So I think you have to give Steve Clevenger a shot, especially since in the two games he has shined somewhat. Who knows, maybe in the next several at-bats he'll decline a little bit, but that's, you know, neither here or there. But if he's batting .571 in his first two games, give the guy a shot. I mean, at least he's starting to make the most of his at-bats.
Hey, it's not like he's Derek Fisher of the Houston Astros farm club, who hit 2 grand slams and 12 RBIs in his first game.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that, by the way?
I did. I did hear about that.
That was just insane. I read about that. I'm just thinking to myself, that's just something that freakily happens when you're saying to yourself, hey, we're down 8 runs. All we need is 2 grand slams. Somebody call Derek Fisher.
Yeah. Who was the Orioles player that used to play for the Cardinals? I think he did that two times in a game. I think it was... See, this is how bad the Orioles are, folks. You start to forget players that played on the sucky teams. But yeah, played for the Cardinals, hit 2 grand slams in one game, one inning, I think. So, yep, there's that. But enough about offense, though. We go right to pitching here. Pitching, on one hand, okay, 3.83 earned run average this past week. In the Chicago White Sox doubleheader, though, the future looked semi-promising a little bit. Talk about Tyler Wilson here in his first major league start. He had... Six innings, two earned runs.
Five hits he allowed.
Yeah, 5 hits he allowed, 2 earned runs, an even 3 earned run average, which is good enough to help you win, unless you were facing Chris Sale. Then it's just no chance.
Yeah, it was like, okay, yeah. Well, they were going up against an even better guy in Chris Sale. And then how about the other guy, Mike Wright, who got his first major league victory the other day.
And gave up his first major league run.
And his worst performance of his career
so far
in the majors. He pitches 2 fantastic scoreless games, doesn't get a win, and all of a sudden in his third game he gives up the ghost, and now he's get his first victory. What do I say, folks? What do I say here on the Baltimore Sports Free For All? I'm not repeating it because I say it almost every week about the wins and loss stats for a pitcher.
Yep. And looking at other guys who had a solid week, Brad Brock picked up 2 victories in 3 appearances, had 4 shutout innings, 3 strikeouts, no walks. So Brad Brock sort of returning the promise as a long reliever for this team.
Yeah. We got to wrap up the segment here in a little bit, but at the same time, though, we're looking at what other guys did. Brian Matt is still appealing his suspension. Not so good. Tommy Hunter, ew. Like 2.2 innings pitched.
Chris Tillman.
5 hits, 3 earned runs, and Chris Tillman?
2 losses and 2 starts this past week. 11 2/3 total innings pitched. 14 hits, 7 earned runs, 1 home run allowed, 12 strikeouts, 6 walks, with a 5.40 ERA.
Be excited about that, Josh.
Yeah, it's not exciting.
He also, his opposing batting average was .304 this past week.
Yeah, and looking at the rest of the Orioles as we go along for the schedule here, they stand at 23-26, third place in the AL East as of this podcast, 2 games back of the AL East lead, which isn't really saying much nowadays since the division is looking subpar. But looking ahead to their schedule, from June 1st through June 4th, they are at Houston facing against the Astros. No longer the Lastros, folks. They are the Astros. And, yeah, I know, the Orioles did take 2 out of 3 games this past week against them. But don't sleep on that team. They can sneak up and beat you.
They do have Derek Fisher in their farm club.
Yep, exactly. And Friday through Sunday, June 5th through June 7th, they are going to be at Cleveland facing against those Indians.
They're AL Central equivalent.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not necessarily going to be facing the Wild Thing, Rick Vaughn, or anything like that.
Although, keep in mind, though, the Indians are pretty hot right now.
24-26, the Indians are. So, a little bit better than the Baltimore Orioles.
They're 7-3, though, in their last 10 games.
Exactly.
And they are much better on the road, which you can see right now. They're going to be playing at Cleveland. So, their home record, 10-14. So, maybe it's the Orioles who break the Indian streak. Maybe this is the week. Is this the week? We say it every week. Is this the week they get over the hump of mediocrity and eventually get below one game below 500 or even hit the 500 mark?
This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
It is the month of June, which means Belmont Stakes, which we'll be talking about later in a little bit. But right now, it also means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, and surprisingly, in early June, it's all going to start all in the same week. So
consider the fact that the NBA couldn't move their finals back and had a little bit of predicament where it's been a few days since we've seen some basketball action going on right now.
Yeah, little basketball action, little NHL action there, and by the way, congrats to both the Blackhawks and the Tampa Bay Lightning who will be meeting in a best of seven series for the Stanley Cup. And a little quick bit before we get to this topic here, or these series of topics. No, Bruce Boudreau won't be going to a Stanley Cup. I thought he was with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He was with the Anaheim Ducks, who still ended up having a great season. So, Cavs fans, you can relax. Bruce Boudreau is not going to a Stanley Cup Finals.
But he at least did get past the second round.
Ouch.
Yeah, I have to say that right now. He did get past the second round, and it just amazes me, though. The Lightning have won a Stanley Cup in the last 5 years, and the Blackhawks, this is the one dynasty. They're the San Antonio Spurs. Nobody talks about them. Yet they've won like three Stanley Cups in the last 6 years. It's amazing what this team has done in the Chicago Blackhawks with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and everything else that these guys lead. They just are just amazing to watch, and it just seems like now with the Chicago Blackhawks going through the Ducks, and you just thought the Ducks would have been a nice underdog story. You even had Emilio Estevez putting out on Twitter, "Hey, go Ducks against the Hawks." I'm thinking to myself, Gordon Bombay?
Nah, not going to happen there. But
where's Goldberg?
Yeah, you might as well start off with the NHL action here to start off this segment. But looking at the Chicago Blackhawks here, this is a team, like you said, Ray, they are the equivalent to the San Antonio Spurs in terms of a sports dynasty. They've won multiple Stanley Cup finals in the last several seasons. Not to mention, they do possess a great roster in Patrick Kane. Not to mention defenseman Duncan Keith, who was a Conn Smythe Trophy candidate for defensive player. You have those things going for them as well. But also, you do have to look at the Tampa Bay Lightning as being that outsider, you know, that team that not everyone expects to win a Stanley Cup, but hey, it'd be a pleasant surprise if they did. Not to mention, Ben Bishop is turning to be one of the best postseason players in all professional hockey at the moment. But, you can't really say they are going to be like the Kansas City Royals and look to upset the team in the world title match, because I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are a more likable team than the Kansas City Royals are in this case. But looking at the Stanley Cup Finals here, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Chicago Blackhawks, how do you see this faring, and who do you think is the most valuable player?
I just think it's going to go the Blackhawks' way just because
How many games?
I'm going to say six.
Oh, so you think Tampa Bay is going to win two, probably at home?
Yeah, because after all, at the end of the day, they do have Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman, so they have a bunch of other guys that they can rely on. But at the same time, though, Chicago, they have the experience, as I mentioned, Marian Hossa, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews. They just have like the complete package in terms of their play style. And let me stand corrected that the Blackhawks, this is going to be their third Stanley Cup final in 6 years. They've won two.
Also, they're like the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, this will be their third, though. This will be the third final in 6 years that they've gone to. And it seems to me like it's just going to be a shoo-in for the Chicago Blackhawks. I just can't see going up against the status quo. As I said, they are the San Antonio Spurs of the NHL. I want to say that the Chicago Blackhawks win in six.
I'm going to be opposite and say Tampa Bay Lightning in five.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, Ray, but I just think this has been the most exciting team in the NHL playoffs, especially the Eastern Conference playoffs. I like what Ben Bishop has had to offer for the Lightning. I think he has been exciting for them through this stretch. And I think that momentum is going to ride through in the Stanley Cup Finals. And as tough as Chicago's defense is, especially with Duncan Keith there for the Blackhawks, I do like what the Lightning have to offer. I think they'll start out the gates hot and early, and I think it'll be too late for the Blackhawks to catch up.
All right. Now let's move on to the NBA. And with the NBA,
that's AKA the LeBron James Show Part 6.
Or AKA the LeBron James versus Steph Curry show, because that's going to be the big narrative that everyone's talking about. The current MVP versus the four-time MVP. Who is going to win? First things first, I want to offer a congratulations out there to Heat Nation. How do you feel, Heat Nation, that your Cleveland Cavaliers are in the NBA Finals?
Oh, so are you saying to the bandwagon Heat fans that turned in their jerseys automatically, immediately for a new LeBron James number 23 Cavaliers jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's sour grapes there, especially since the Heat came nowhere near close to getting the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five.
Yeah,
so it didn't turn out very well for the Miami Heat this year. And it was such a difference just how that team just completely imploded. They imploded the big three, and now all of a sudden you see LeBron going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Cavaliers would have been a sub-500 team without him, but with LeBron James, they've been able to ascend to that extra step and are now in the NBA Finals once again. Despite the fact that throughout this postseason they haven't had Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving has been limping on one leg. So it just seems to me like everybody's been giving the hopes and dreams to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but not so fast there, because the Cleveland Cavaliers play in the Eastern Conference, which has actually been pretty bad, even though they rolled over the Bulls and the Hawks, the two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. On the other side, in the West, there is a team named the Golden State Warriors, who have a lot of depth on their team in addition to just Steph Curry. Do I have to mention Harrison Barnes? I think I will mention Harrison Barnes.
Draymond Green.
And Draymond Green. And yeah, I mean, the Cavaliers, they have J.R. Smith, and Kyrie Irving has been stepping it up, and still a very young guy. I mean, the guy's only like, what, 23 years old? So
right around there, yeah.
That's probably one of the reasons why LeBron James went to Cleveland, was because he saw a young prodigy in Kyrie Irving and wanted to be there with him and rise up with him and become an actual leader of that team and help the guy out and then become a dynamic force for years to come, because the big three wasn't going to last as long as what he thought it was going to last. But if you have Kyrie Irving and you can meld him into a superstar player, I think LeBron James made the right decision on this part, don't you think?
Yeah, and I was going to add to the Cavs side of things, they're on the defense on behalf of them there. How about the new age Dennis Rodman, or he's not really claiming to be, Matthew Dellavedova, taking some dives there and bumping into players and getting a little testy there with the opposition. That has certainly helped in the Cavs case. One matchup I am looking forward to more than most is the reigning MVP Steph Curry going up against Kyrie Irving. Like you said, Kyrie Irving has been playing through injury, has been playing tough though. Nowhere near the caliber of point guard that Steph Curry is, even though Steph Curry has a great shooting percentage of 43.7% from the three-point range. You do have to keep in mind though, Ray, the two highest scoring games this season were both by Kyrie Irving. 57 and 55 points. However, I am not sure in this stage that he is going to come anywhere close to that.
No, I don't think so either, especially having an injury and everything else has been going on. You saw how they played some amazing games in that Hawks series, but I just think that it's going to be the Warriors' year this year. It's not going to be, and I just remember how bad the Warriors were growing up. They haven't won a final since 1975. Cleveland has never won one. But throughout the 2000s, they've had LeBron James on there, minus the years he was with the Heat, and they've had success with him on that team. I think they're going to have success in the future with him on that team. But right as of right now, I think it's right now the Golden State Warriors' time to shine in the spotlight.
Yeah, and one matchup that I don't think anybody wants to see, unless you want the matchup of the worst starting centers overall in NBA Finals history, Andrew Bogut versus Timothy Mozgov.
Could that be a testament to the state of centers in NBA as a whole?
Yeah, it's just...
gone are the days of Shaquille O'Neal.
I'll tell you what, if Kevin Love were healthy and playing on this team in place of Mozgov, I think when you look at the lineup there, the Cavs would have had a much better chance. I'm going to go opposite with you once again. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to have the storybook ending, and they're going to win in seven games. And I'll tell you why, though. Keep in mind, LeBron James is playing in his fifth straight NBA Finals appearance. Fifth straight NBA Finals appearance. You know the last guy to do that was? Bill Russell, back in the 60s, Boston Celtics.
Okay.
Yeah. So for those saying, well, he's still not Michael Jordan. Well, no, he's not Michael Jordan. He's LeBron James. I think there isn't really going to be any Michael Jordan comparisons unless Steph Curry wins one and then wins another one and a third one, and then we can start making those comparisons then. And Steph Curry's having a great season. He has great MVP performances game in, game out. He has great MVP post-game performances, courtesy of his daughter Riley there. So I'm not so sure that we're going to see Riley Curry in a post-game press conference anytime soon after a series win. But I do think this wouldn't feel right. The way the season has went for the Cavs, this will not feel right unless LeBron James is hoisting that trophy in Cleveland, a city that hasn't won a professional championship since the 1960s.
We have now reached that time in the podcast where we like to go to our two-minute rants. Josh, I think I went first last week, so you're the one that's doing the honors this week.
Fine by me. This past week, there was some news, big news, in the pro wrestling industry. Not so much so much to the chagrin of Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, or a.k.a. Impact Wrestling, owned by Dixie Carter. Ring of Honor has joined the Destination America family as an 8 o'clock show leading into the 9 o'clock hour for Impact Wrestling. Times may change, so stay tuned for that. Now, this is what I think is good for the industry here, especially now that you have two totally different wrestling promotions, all on the same channel, one leading into the other. Heck, Wednesday nights are now becoming the new Monday nights because, don't forget, you also have Lucha Underground, which will be reappearing on the El Rey Network on Wednesday nights. Not to mention, on the WWE Network, you have new episodes of NXT every Wednesday. This is great for the industry, but do you know who isn't liking this? Impact Wrestling. You know, the same company that did absolutely nothing to improve itself in the past several years. Not to mention, the same company who has received deal after deal with the television companies like Spike TV and Destination America that they do nothing to better their product. This is my advice to Impact Wrestling. Stop worrying about what Destination America is doing to you and worry about your damn product. I should know because I've dealt with this firsthand at an old radio station I worked at. An employee, I shall not name his name, who would make references to radio stations other than his own and talk about what they were doing instead of what he and his station were doing. And it ended up costing him the best talent in the business. So, Impact Wrestling, do yourselves a favor. Worry about what's going on in your own house. Clean up shop. And hopefully, just hopefully, you can be a part of this positive trend going on in your industry.
Huh, and I have no which radio station you are talking about there, sir, so you're not burning a bridge, but we know.
All right, go ahead.
FIFA is continuing to make either the world laugh or make the world cry. And when I say laugh or cry in terms of, you want to say laugh just because you can't think of how dumb these people are, but you want to cry at the same time because you're thinking to yourself, how do these people rise to get in the positions that they are in terms of power? Could speak to a lot of volumes in terms of other organizations and other places that have leadership, and leadership that has been failing in the past couple of years. And FIFA's leadership has failed for over 15 years under the tutelage of Sepp Blatter. And yeah, Blatter. Who names this guy? Anyway, Sepp Blatter is re-elected as president of FIFA again for a fifth term. And why is this? It's because he pays money to other countries that have maybe a fraction of the population of Spain, maybe the fraction of a population of the United States, a fraction of the population of Germany, yet they all have the same equal vote. And you're seeing that with Qatar, where they get the World Cup in 2022. You're seeing slave labor being used to be building the stadium. 1,500 people have already died building that stadium. It's estimated that 4,000 people are going to die building that stadium. But the latest revelation in FIFA is now ex-vice president Jack Warner was arrested, got out of the jail in terms of, you know, exhaustion, was seen partying later on in a rally for himself, then put out a Facebook video of him condemning the United States in the investigation towards FIFA by citing an article from The Onion, a fake news site. They go on there and they make fun of pop culture and they put up fake news by saying, oh, all of a sudden FIFA awards the United States a World Cup. And then he goes on and condemns the United States for keeping the World Cup. And we're saying, no, the United States was not awarded a World Cup. So I just think to myself, I want to laugh at this, but it's just so sad that this was a guy who held power.
I just want to add this little comment about FIFA and what's going on with their powers that be. I just think the fact that you have another country building a stadium and there's an estimation on how many people will die building that stadium, that's where you know you've messed up big time. Not just the IRS stuff, but just that number right there, that you have an estimated number going on right there.
The one guy from the U.S., had a $6,000 apartment.
It's scumbag stuff.
A $6,000 apartment in a Trump Towers for his cats.
Yeah.
I mean, and you look at, you watch HBO and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and it's good stuff whenever he busts on FIFA, because he's just an angry Englishman just laying into people who've been destroying the sport of football. And that's exactly what's happening right here. Okay, so another sport we're going to be talking about is the Belmont Stakes, and our predictions for this past Saturday.
American Pharoah is your Triple Crown.
For you.
Yes.
For you, it's going to be the American Pharoah wins the Triple Crown. He's got a good chance this year, considering the fact that it's a small field. He's only got 7 other horses to compete against. It's like they're laying the foundations by saying, hey, maybe these horses should drop. And 2 of them that dropped were not competitors in the Preakness or the Kentucky Derby, so they weren't the ones that were fresh horses. There still are fresh horses, though, in this race, one of them being Keen Ice.
And that's your winner?
I think he's going to be my tonalist this year. And the spoiler alert.
All right, for me, American Pharoah, then in second will be Fermento, and then third will be Mubtahij.
Okay, these are all guys, Keen Ice, Mubtahij, Frosted, and Fermento. We can combine all of those together.
And make a coffee shop.
And make a Starbucks order out of it. And like I like a Fermento with Keen Ice, Frosted, Holden Mubtahij.
Yep, and I want to put my name down, Made From Lucky. All one word. Yeah, that's my username. But, we are going to be closing the show out this week. Folks, don't forget, we are giving a set of Orioles tickets for next Friday, June the 12th game versus the New York Yankees, 7:05 first pitch, section 324. So definitely remember that we are giving away 4 tickets. We will announce a winner on next week's episode of the Baltimore Sports Free for All. Ray, what are we talking about next week?
We're going to be talking about the Orioles. We say it every week.
Hopefully.
Okay. I'm going to talk about the Orioles going 0-7.
Oh.
Yes. Going opposite
Mr.
direction.
Pessimist,
here.
Look at you. No Triple Crown for American Pharoah, and now you want to go 0-7 for the Orioles.
Yes.
How dare you?
Talk about an early lead for the Warriors.
Maybe the Tampa Bay Lightning win in 4.
No.
No. No.
Not in a week.
Not in a week.
No. Well, this is another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free for All. I am Ray Atkinson.
I am Josh Hall.
And we will see you all.
The Baltimore Sports Free for All.